Hey, I'm Scott Horton here to tell you about this great new book by Michael Swanson, The War State. In The War State, Swanson examines how Presidents Truman, Eisenhower, and Kennedy both expanded and fought to limit the rise of the new national security state after World War II. This nation is ever to live up to its creed of liberty and prosperity for everyone. We are going to have to abolish the empire. Know your enemy. Get The War State by Michael Swanson. It's available at your local bookstore or at Amazon.com in Kindle or in paperback. Just click the book in the right margin at ScottHorton.org or TheWarState.com. All right, y'all, welcome back to the show. I'm Scott Horton. This is my show, The Scott Horton Show. I guess I forgot to mention that my website is scotthorton.org, and my chat room is at scotthorton.org/chat, if you like chat rooms. Also, you can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at /ScottHortonShow. /ScottHortonShow. All right, and, scotthorton.org. I keep all my interview archives there. My whole show archives, too, but the interview archives, there's about 3,000 of them now going back to 2003. So, if you like listening to stuff, I got plenty of stuff. All right. First guest on the show today is Nicholas J.S. Davies. He writes for Alternet, and I apologize to him and you that I don't have a complete bio here. But anyway, welcome to the show. Nicholas, how are you doing?
Yeah, hi, Scott. Yep, doing all right here. Amidst all the chaos that our country's creating around the world. But I'm sitting here in Miami. It's a nice day, and, you know, all's right in my little corner here.
Oh, that's good. They haven't gotten you nuked off the face of the earth yet. We'll take that as
right.
A blessing. Well, good. I'm happy that we're all still alive. We can do a radio show. I really like this piece. I like when anybody will take the time to go through and make a catalog like this. This is the sort of article that can kind of live forever, even sort of maybe in pamphlet form or something, and I bet will. It's the kind of thing that, you know, a high school student on a bus somewhere or, you know, any housewife visiting a doctor's office or anybody can just pick this thing up and start looking at it. 35 countries. Where the U.S. has supported fascists, drug lords, and terrorists. And I already know that you're right about this stuff, so go ahead and go down the list, A to Z here, as much as we can fit in half an hour.
Yeah, well, I don't know where, you know, we started A, Afghanistan, you know. And I think, you know, Afghanistan should be a lesson to all of us and to our policymakers of where this leads. They had a socialist government that had, you know, evolved over many years since they really achieved complete independence from Britain back in 1919. And successive governments in Afghanistan were trying to improve the lives of their people. They had a government that was doing more than any previous one for women's rights and education and very critically land reform. And of course, that was where a lot of the established tribal leaders and rural landowners were very unhappy with the government. And so the U.S. and its allies exploited that to back, you know, the most conservative, socially regressive forces in the country and ultimately overthrow the government.
Doesn't even necessarily have to concede to the graciousness or the benevolence of the government in Kabul to recognize that, at least according to the Americans, like Zbigniew Brzezinski, they brag, Robert Gates, too, in his book, they bragged that they didn't just react to the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan by bankrolling the Mujahideen. They started backing the Mujahideen in order to provoke the Soviets into invading in a war that ended up costing millions of Afghan lives. Approximately 2 million people died during that thing. And then, of course, all of the blowback and reaction that we know has come since then up to and including and through the American invasion and occupation that's now lasted more than a dozen years.
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, this is where, and you know, the title talks about fascists, drug lords, and terrorists. You know, in Afghanistan, we are talking drug lords and terrorists. The people who we have consistently backed and put into power there have, turned the country into, you know, a narco state. You know, in my article, I talk about the actual production of heroin, of opium and heroin from that country. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, previously, you know, you were talking maybe, you know, tens or hundreds of tons. You know, once these guys seized power in the 1990s, you know, there was just a tenfold increase in production of opium, to where it fluctuated between 2,000 and 3,500 tons per year. But since the U.S. invaded in 2001, since 2004, for the last 10 years, the country has produced more than 5,000 tons of opium per year. And, you know, this is what our government has done in Afghanistan. You know, and
I thought it was great the way you linked to this New York Times story about how Hamid Karzai, the sock puppet so-called president there, his brother is a well-known CIA-backed drug lord. And that was the article where it was so obvious at the time that it was the CIA that put the article in the New York Times in the first place, because they were trying to discredit Karzai in favor of Abdullah Abdullah, which didn't work. But they were trying to regime change him back in 2009. And so they leaked this story about how Karzai's got no credibility because he's a heroin dealer backed by us.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, when you come to terrorism, well, you know, here we are. If we ever needed an object lesson in the kind of trouble this can cause when we back these kind of people and arm them and train them, you know, here we have, you know, the very roots of Al-Qaeda. And you know, this is and yet here we are, you know, what, 20-30 years later, just going down the same road. Libya, Syria,
we've got a deal, you know, to stay in Afghanistan until 2024. Never mind the rest of them. All right, now and speaking of the rest of them, we got about 2.5-3 minutes here before we got to go out to our break. And so I guess instead of doing alphabetical order, it makes sense for the article, but let's go, you decide whether you want to go, if you want to divide up the nations by, for example, geography, Latin American interventions or African ones, or whether you want to talk about, you know, chronologically, 50s and 60s interventions versus 70s and 80s ones, or however you want to break it up. I want to give you a chance to really kind of go down the list and shock people a little bit at just the quantity and the amount, the endless reach of the American intelligence and military agencies in regime changing other people's countries around the world. I mean, for yeah. someone who doesn't already know this stuff, it ought to blow their mind, you know?
Yeah, well, it really should do, because it's sure not the way the U.S. Likes to present itself. You know, I think I could start by, you know, if I would urge people to read the article, but secondly, if they want to see more of this stuff, more of this big picture, there's a book I would recommend by William Bloom. That's B-L-U-M, and the title is Killing Hope. And this really documents, you know, on a broader scale, just all U.S. military and CIA interventions in countries around the world mm-hmm. since 1945.
And he's a former State Department official, correct?
I'm sorry? Yes, he worked in the State Department in the 60s, yeah, mm-hmm. and became pretty swiftly disillusioned. But he, you know... you know, I think what's in the most common comment I got reading the comments to this article on Alternet were not, oh my God, 35 countries. It was more like people going, hey, how about this country you didn't
yeah.
mention? And only 35? Are you kidding?
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, anyone who has studied this stuff understands that this is, you know, as I said in the article, what it really represents in the big picture is, you know, this elusive but relentless quest for unchallenged global power, in which the U.S. has been completely unscrupulous in terms of who it is willing to work with to achieve goals that are, I think most of us would agree, are really unattainable. Mm-hmm. And so this is, you know, just an incredibly tragic history of what our country and our government has done with its unparalleled wealth and power mm-hmm. over the last century.
Well, you know, I mean, it's gone so far where people even think to refer to foreigners as humans whose lives and rights are worth considering at all is sort of some kind of pansy, lefty, liberal, hippie kind of a concept. Everybody knows that when it comes to state and state action, foreigners don't have rights except to lay down and die and or, you know, do what they're told if they know what's good for them. And that's about it. And it's that's just the adult, reasonable, realist point of view about how the world works and what state action is. So it really doesn't matter about collateral damage or anything like that. That's where they came up with the name collateral damage in the first place. And it's something unique for Americans to actually consider foreigners as people at all. And I'm sorry we got to go to this break. We'll be right back with Nicholas J.S. Davies in just a sec.
Hey, I'm Scott Horton here for WallStreetWindow.com. Mike Swanson is a successful former hedge fund manager who provides his subscribers with a very real window into his investments, updating them on every move he makes in the markets. Right now, Mike's anticipating a bear and is dumping all the stocks while the getting is good, investing instead in gold and the commodities. Protect your assets and learn the wise ways of the markets. WallStreetWindow.com. And check out Mike Swanson's great contribution to the history of the rise of the American Empire and the war state. Available at ScottHorton.org/Amazon.
All right. Welcome back to the show here. I'm Scott Horton. This is my show, The Scott Horton Show. I'm talking with Nicholas J.S. Davies. He wrote this thing for Alternet. It's also at Salon.com. You might have seen it. Made the rounds. Went pretty viral last week. It's the era of the listicle, right? What can we say? 35 countries where the U.S. has supported fascists, drug lords, and terrorists. And then, I'm sorry we got interrupted by the break. I was sort of going on moralizing there about how ultimately Americans, all of us, and I don't know all of us, but Americans generally speaking of all different races have sort of this honorary white supremacy in a way or whatever it is, that if you're an American, it's just perfectly okay to kill the hell out of anybody. How could anybody justify nuking Hiroshima? And the answer is because Japanese are considered basically the same as ants. And in fact, Admiral Fallon, who stopped the war with Iran in 2007, later told, Vanity Fair magazine that, look, these people are ants. And when it comes to time to do so, we will crush them. He was the hero who stopped the war. And his point being that, you know, they're gooks. In fact, Noam Chomsky likes to quote Lloyd George as saying, well, we must reserve the right to kill. And then, you know, the N-word I wouldn't possibly repeat on the air here for you. And that really is the attitude, that as long as it's the government doing it, there is no limit to the amount of murder that they can commit, other than maybe the amount of American soldiers that get wounded in the process or something like that.
Yeah, and yet there's this incredible sort of propaganda system to convey the impression to Americans and to the world that, that this is all well-intentioned and that, as President Obama has said, that the U.S. military is the greatest force for good in the world. And this is remarkably effective. And so, you know, I guess that's where I hope an article like this can help, because, you have to sort of hold up this image that the U.S. presents of itself to the world, and then hold up what I'm writing about in this article on the other side and say, well, wait a minute, these can't both be true, hopefully this will encourage people to think about these things and do some more research of their own, and really recognize that, you know, we need substantial change in the way our government behaves in the world. You know, we're not talking about fine tuning here. We really need to turn over a new leaf if we are not going to just continue to spread violence and chaos across the world.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, everybody knows about the massive war to prop up the fascist dictatorship of South Korea. But for one example that you have on the list here, although people don't usually think of it in those terms, they know that that's true, that they didn't really start having regular elections until the late 1980s there. Which of these surprised you? Which of these were ones that you had heard the least about or maybe learned something new about? Fascist dictatorships here supported by the United States.
Well, I'll tell you, the last article I wrote for Alternet was basically about the failed war on terror. You know, I used the State Department's own statistics to show that, in fact, the result of the so-called war on terror has been a massive explosion of terrorism all over the world. And a guy called Larry Johnson, who worked really his whole career at the CIA and the State Department on these issues, read my article, and his response was pretty interesting, because he said that the main problem with respect to assessing the terrorist threat is to accurately define the state sponsorship. The biggest culprits today, in contrast to 20 years ago, are Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, and Turkey. He also added that Iran is really not a state sponsor of terrorism to the extent that we are led to believe. But, this was pretty interesting. You know, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, mm-hmm. and Turkey. And
yeah, in fact, Patrick Coburn has a brand new piece out just like that, too. The second act, Al-Qaeda, the second act, why the global war on terror went wrong. And that's exactly what he says, too.
Mm, right. And, these are, again, you know, the three major U.S. allies. The U.S. in the past 10 years or so, the U.S. has given over $18 billion in military aid to Pakistan. I mean, some of which we know is being used through their ISI intelligence service, you know, to support the Taliban and the same people that our troops are fighting in Afghanistan. This just seems like insanity. I think that's the way the Afghans look at it. They just think we are completely nuts to be essentially supporting both sides in a war in their country. And then Saudi Arabia, the United States just closed the largest arms deal in history, $60 billion, you know, in F-15s and all kinds of other weaponry, to one of the three largest state sponsors of terrorism in the world. And then, I mean, Turkey is pretty interesting because we don't hear so much about that. But in fact, it seems that as the Saudis are starting to be alarmed themselves by what they have unleashed in Syria, and they have even passed a law now, you know, with long prison sentences for Saudis who engage in terrorism and then come back to Saudi Arabia. Maybe that's just to deter them from coming back. But as the Saudis themselves seem to have scared themselves in what they've unleashed in Syria, it seems like Turkey is still full steam ahead. We don't seem to be seeing any let up in Turkish support for the Al-Qaeda related groups in who are demolishing Syria as we speak. And of course, Turkey is, you know, an actual member of NATO. I mean, here we're debating whether Georgia and Ukraine should be members of NATO, or if that's part of the U.S. plan here, which the Russians seem to have managed to defuse. But Turkey is a longstanding member of NATO, and yet here they are, completely, you know, involved in a proxy war with U.S. support that has killed at least 100,000 people in Syria, turned millions of Syrians into refugees, wrecked entire neighborhoods and villages and towns, and it's still going on.
Right. And while America's backing so-called revolution against a military dictatorship in Syria, one that they don't control. They support the military dictators of Egypt. And, you know, I'm a libertarian, and I think it sounds like you're coming from the left somewhere, and it's pretty easy. I'm not putting words in your mouth, but it's pretty easy for people like us to refer to pretty much any military dictatorship as fascism. You know, certainly you look at Egypt as an economic system. Maybe they don't have, you know, all 14 points of fascism or whatever going on, but as an economic system and as a dictatorship, it sure seems pretty fascist if you're on the receiving end of it. But now tell me what you think, Nicholas, about what's going on in Ukraine, because I got pictures of the guys that America's backing, including John McCain's friend Tannenbaum with his Hitler salute up in the air. I got guys with SS lightning bolts and iron crosses running around in the Maidan, and apparently, what, at least 8 members of Right Sector and Svoboda have gotten high-level positions in the new government, including as head of the police, you know, the National Police Force here. This is the kind of thing where, you know, any kind of right-leaning groups anywhere else in Europe, you know, think of like Haider in Austria back 10, 15 years ago, whatever, when he had said some politically incorrect things about race. He wasn't parading around with SS lightning bolts and Hitler salutes, and they treated him like he was Hitler reborn. But in this case, they're outright backing these guys who are proud to be descendants of pro-Nazi forces.
Absolutely. I mean, they're putting up statues to the guy Bandera, who was sort of the head of the Ukrainian right-wing militia that worked with the Nazis. And, you know, in Germany, you'd go to jail for any of this stuff. As you said, I am of the left. You know, the group I work with politically is the Progressive Democrats of America. Mm-hmm. And we put out an action alert to our members last week for them to contact the State Department and the White House and their members of Congress and demand 3 things. Number one, the immediate resignation of Victoria Nuland and Jeffrey Pyatt. For anyone listening who does not know, these are the 2 U.S. officials who were caught on tape by the Russians discussing how they were going to replace the government, the elected government in the Ukraine.
Just so you know, we got 1 minute.
Okay. And so we're asking for their resignation. Victoria Nuland is married to Robert Kagan, the co-founder of the Project for the New American Century. These are the neocons that most Democrats in this country thought they voted out of office in 2006 and 2008. And they are still here. They never left.
Right. Yeah, that's such an important point. And yeah, this listenership does know. We played those clips many times on the show and have been trying to focus on that. But yeah, that sure is a hell of a way to wrap this thing up. Backing outright fascists, outright, as my friend, I'm a broken record on this show at this point, but my friend Sheldon Richmond and I were joking that anybody with SS lightning bolts is not afraid that you're going to mistake them for a Nazi. They really are a Nazi. That's why they got the damn lightning bolts. It's about as simple as that. There is no alternative explanation.
Right.
You know.
So why doesn't Nuland put on one of those outfits?
It would be fitting. You know, her and her brother-in-law, Fat Neck Fred. Maybe they could go reinvade Iraq.
Yep. Frederick and Robert Kagan.
Yeah,
yep.
And Kimberly, too. Boy. All right, we're out of time. Thank you so much for your time. Nicholas J.S. Davies, everybody. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Salon.com and Alternet.org. We'll be right back with Gareth Porter in just a sec. Hey, y'all. Scott Horton here for CashIntoCoins.com. So you want to buy some Bitcoins? CashIntoCoins.com makes it fast, easy, and safe to get Bitcoins. Just deposit the money into their account at any of the major banks they support, and then just email them a picture of the receipt and your Bitcoin address, and you get your Bitcoins. Almost always the same day it clears. In a tough, competitive new market, CashIntoCoins.com has the advantage. A great system and great customer service to keep you coming back. That's CashIntoCoins.com. Just click the link in the right margin at ScottHorton.org.
Don't worry about things you can't control. Isn't that what they always say? But it's about impossible to avoid worrying about what's going on these days. The government has used the war on guns, the war on drugs, and the war on terrorism to tear our Bill of Rights to shreds. But you can fight back. The 10th Amendment Center has proven it, racking up major victories. For example, when the U.S. government claimed authority in the NDAA to have the military kidnap and detain Americans without trial, the nullifiers got a law passed in California, declaring the state's refusal to ever participate in any such thing. Their latest project is offnow.org, nullifying the National Security Agency. They've already gotten model legislation introduced in California, Arizona, Oklahoma, Missouri, and Kansas, meant to limit the power of the NSA to spy on Americans in those states. We'd be fools to wait around for the U.S. Congress or courts to roll back Big Brother. Our best chance is nullification and interposition on the state level. Go to offnow.org, print out that model legislation, and get to work nullifying the NSA. The hero Edward Snowden has risked everything to give us this chance. Let's take it. Offnow.org. Hey y'all, Scott Horton here for Braswell Business Communication Services at FusePowder.com. Braswell Communications can provide a credentialed media presence for your company at industry conferences and trade shows, as well as support services and consultation for publishing, editorial and technical writing, business-to-business and marketing communications, research, and information campaigns. Braswell also does website development and complete web content maintenance to include voiceover audio and copywriting. Strengthen your business. FusePowder.com. Hey, y'all, Scott here. First, I want to take a second to thank all the show's listeners, sponsors, and supporters for helping make this show what it is. I literally couldn't do it without you. And now I want to tell you about the newest way to help support the show. Whenever you shop at Amazon.com, stop by ScottHorton.org first and just click the Amazon logo on the right side of the page. That way, the show will get a kickback from Amazon's end of the sale. It won't cost you an extra cent. And it's not just books. Amazon.com sells just about everything in the world, except cars, I think. So whatever you need, they've got it. Just click the Amazon logo on the right side of the page at ScottHorton.org or go to ScottHorton.org/Amazon.